This year, patient safety leaders from five countries met in Riyadh to share successes and challenges in their efforts to improve patient safety at a health system level. Hosted by BMJ, the meeting acknowledged a lack of evidence about what has been effective and the need to learn from global exemplars. I'm Kat Chatfield. In this podcast, I'm joined by one of the expert panellists, Dr. Banda Al-Khanawi, Chief Executive Officer of the Ministry of National Guard Health Affairs and President of King Saud bin Abdulaziz University for Health Science, to talk about his approach to patient safety transformation. Welcome, Dr. Banda. Could you tell me how you first got interested in patient safety transformation?
I think, you know, being just starting as a CMO has been the project that I wanted to lead. And before that, I, as a head of division and a director of medical education, I used to chair the mortality morbidity committees throughout our hospital and the headquarter. So, you know, I came more closer to all of the needs and for many years ahead that, so I was able to firsthand information to see how can we really help the system to develop and ensure that we have a complete fabric for patient safety issues and journey. So that was one of my first projects as a CMO to establish, and as I think just being around historically with the mortality and morbidity hospital-wide system assessment and ensuring that we have these peer reviews for these cases, enhanced and encouraged my ability to establish this, and we did it very scientifically. We did at the beginning need assessment, and we studied people, what's their requirement. We had big questionnaires throughout the hospital system, and we had few presentations and many other things, and I think that was great. You know, it was well received, and I think patients, it used to be more quality, and once we enhanced the word that it is really patient safety, it is no shame, blame culture, and all of these kind of initiatives ensuring that people come forward, and we have even developed not a system agenda, but a healthcare agenda. Like, it's a shared agenda between healthcare workers and the management to see that where are the areas and needs that we augment. And we had spent time going to different departments, giving one-to-one presentations, understanding the needs, hospital walk rounds, and all of these measures that really developed more awareness and culture of moving forward towards patient safety.
There are obviously a lot of players involved in this patient safety program. What's the role of patients?
Well, the role of patients has been not as we want. I think it is always, unfortunately, we look at it from a healthcare worker and physician's perspective, but I think the role of patients has been, as a CMO, looking at most of the patient's complaint has been really very enriching. I really spent time reading the details and reading how they perceived healthcare, and it is very interesting when you look at this. And I used to go to the different hospitals and meet with patients and meet with them on a regular basis when I go to outside the headquarters. But in the headquarters, of course, I have a weekly, approximately 3 hours meeting, open door meeting with patients and their needs. And sometimes, they just walk in, and we have next to my office a front office with a front staff really receiving patients and looking at their needs. You know, sometimes their needs are, sometimes it's simple. They missed an appointment, or their appointment is long. These are simple ones, but these are efficiency. These are effectiveness of the system. You need to know why there is an issue, that this is this. So this open door policy for patients has been very, very helpful. So I think I gathered most of their needs and things, although it's not formal, it's not systematic. and linking the system through digitization, I think, has been really a strong step forward, because you will be able to get patients moved from primary care to specialized care electronically without, you know, having to worry about this and ensure that patients are receiving and as well receiving their electronically the feedback about their appointments and so forth. I think patients, once they find the access to care done very well and enhanced, and having their surgeries booked by their surgeon done relatively on time, I think you know, their experience and satisfaction will be very, very, very high.
Thank you. I'm interested in hearing more about the unified digital record. Could you tell me about the challenges you had implementing that?
We had a system which is really very primitive before we went on in 2014 to sign our new EMR, and we felt that we need to really get it all digitized. We did not want to do phase type approach. It went through over 3 months. People visited so many hospitals, so many healthcare systems inside Saudi Arabia and outside Saudi Arabia, different parts of the world, and they came back and presented their technical report. And of course, with that, you will see that what we will get as a product, and at the same time included that with that the cost. So once we did this, there has been another group to look at this, and once we've been able to shortlist the EMR that we would like to have, then we started really engaging our healthcare workers. And we did not just do it at the medical director level, at the operational level. We went to the head divisions and chairman of departments, to the nursing services, to the different departments, to pharmacy, to support services, to ensure that, because all of it has to be linked, you know, catering, logistics, all this has to be linked to the new electronic medical record. So it's very important not to get to the healthcare workers only the technical part. It's not the gadget. It is how important is this to drive patient care, efficient care, reliable care, and safe care, of course. This has to be really bought by the frontline healthcare workers. There is no point of not involving these people, because at the end they are going to, and I'm really pleased to say that we have not had any resistance from any of our staff.
A lot of the conversations we hear around quality improvement and patient safety are not just about systems improvement, but cultural improvement and change. Did you look at culture change among your frontline staff?
First of all, staff are engaged when they report. They feel that they would like to do the best for their patients. They feel that somebody is listening. So again, it's important for the corporate to see this. And we have developed mechanisms that, you know, for example, unexpected death, you know, we receive, the management would receive a notification through their smartphones that there is, for example, a major incident happened and something like this. So everyone felt that this culture of trying to be top down, bottom up, and meeting in the middle to really solve issues, I think that's important. I think it is. They don't have to reach all the way up to enhance safety, but I think we are always meeting in the middle, trying to really that we are next to the staff and move forward with them. So this is really gratifying to see that the staff is very focused on this. You know, recently in the board we have approved that, you know, that these issues of presenting to the general staff, it will be done. We used to do it on a yearly basis, then went down to 6 months, and we looked at last year 3 months. We're now looking to see if it is on a monthly basis, or even hopefully regularly more, to go and present. You know, this is what we got and this is what we did. And I think that will ensure that people who are coming new to the system are really being as well engaged, because sometimes the culture needs to continue to be flourished rather than, you know, it is just one-time encounter.
The MERS outbreak was a huge challenge for patient safety in Saudi Arabia. Could you tell me about how you approached it?
First of all, corona or MERS infection has been recurring since 2012. So there has been cases in the system back and forth with this disease. However, in the summer of 2015, we had a major outbreak. So 4 weeks into this issues or so, we felt that the issue was really getting out of hand, and we're getting more and more cases being positive, specifically when we started to have this between our healthcare workers. Around 48 of our healthcare workers had infection during that period of time, spread to the patients, and they as well, you know, communicated it to each other. So that was a very big problem. So we went in and we sat with our infection control group and management, looked at everything and made a decision to close the system. It was very difficult, very difficult. We have in this system around 1,400 beds and lots of patients in emergency rooms and all of this. So we closed our emergency room, and we established a very robust approach to this. During this period, you're seeing your healthcare fellows, people around, getting infected, seeing the system, many patients are here, many patients are sick, and the ICU, we had as high as 27 patients in ICU during a period of time. Setting a system of screening of all of our staff before they come in the morning, making sure that they don't have fever and they don't have symptoms, and trying to stay away from coming to work and all of this. I don't know how would you put it together, but the really gratifying thing to me as a CEO is that nobody of our staff said, "I will not come to work," or had reasons not to come to work. I don't know what to label it, but it's significant engagement to make sure that I felt these are healthcare workers. These are people who really wants to be, to do their, what they were trained to do, is taking care of patients.
MERS was obviously a huge stress on the system, but you've described how staff were supported to cope with it. How do you support staff to cope with everyday pressures of delivering healthcare and to prevent problems like burnout and work-related stress?
We support our staff in different means. You know, our department, medicine, specifically the Department of Psychiatry, has recently launched, a support group, a support team that is being distributed on our intranet for people who need support, from their needs and from their well-being. And when we did our outbreak qualitative assessment a year later, it was highlighted that they wished there was a kind of a phone or a group that they will call in to help them psychologically out of stresses. We had it in a different way. If somebody felt to need support, we send them, or we get the psychiatry support to them, or not necessarily psychiatry, but I mean the social support within the system to help them. But it was not announced, it was not publicized. So it is people who call for, we go and help, and we immediately attend to that. But it was not kind of an open to everyone, I guess. It was one of the highlights mentioned to us. So we learn from it, and it's part of the sharing and learning, and it is important, yeah. But there is no doubt, ensuring that people do, healthcare workers should not have burnout, because this definitely affect the outcome of clinical practice that they will be delivering to patients.
Thank you for telling us about your patient safety experiences in your transformation journey. Sounds like a huge amount has changed. What are the key things you've learned that you would share with other organizations and systems?
Things like electronic medical records is something that a healthcare organization have to spend to invest in, and having a digital system, paperless, and able to connect everything together, able to ensure that you know, things are being done through electronic medical records. We recently have developed sepsis alert system, early sepsis alert system. And now it is a protocol run through all of our 3,400 beds, that the through artificial intelligence, that you will be able to predict that this patient is going to be, you know, suffering from an early sepsis, and an early intervention to be done to prevent that. Patients will go becoming more septic, going to ICU, and you know, the whole ICU critical care management, or deteriorate, or stay longer in the hospital, or of course die. You know, I think this is it is not only. I think we are beyond having electronic medical record or electronic health record. I think we need to know. This is now becoming an important feature. You know, it's like your smartphone. Electronic medical record is the smartphone of the healthcare. And now it is what to do with the data generated. What is new? The new science of machine learning, predictive analytics. All of this is going to be done through this. And I would really would like to expand on the new artificial intelligence, the new paradigm of healthcare, where now patients need to have early access to care through this.
Thank you, Dr. Bandar, for sharing your patient safety journey. This is part of our work which has come out of the International Roundtable on Patient Safety. You can find a feature exploring more of the themes that were discussed, as well as this podcast, on our special microsite. The link is in the podcast text. Thank you for listening.